Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, we've been studying in the book of Mark. Yes, we're taking a break right now for the Sizzlin' Summer Series, but throughout the year on Sundays, we've been looking at the book of Mark and looking at the life of Jesus through this gospel. And we've looked at different topics, but one topic that we've looked at from multiple angles is on the topic of faith, right? We've looked at how faith as small as a mustard seed is powerful, the qualities of great faith. We've looked at it really from all sorts of different angles. And tonight, what I'd like to do is continue on this same topic, but I want to look at a story out of the Old Testament to illustrate my message, which is titled, Believing is Seeing. Can everybody say that? Believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. You know, with our sense of sight, with what we see, I mean, it has a great impact on our life, right? It's through our eyes, it's through our sense of sight that we're able to see what's in front of us, where we're going, whether we like something or not. It's through our sense of sight that we're able to see our kids grow up, watch our team, our favorite team, have a winning or losing season. And you're also able to check and see if that steak is cooked to the right temperature with your sense of sight, right? But you know, through the same eyes that you're able to experience joy and purpose and happiness for your life, it's the same eyes through which you can experience sadness and despair. You know, tonight in a room like this, I know that there are those that when you look at your life, you would say, man, what I'm seeing right now is not pretty. It doesn't look too good right now, and it could be for a host of reasons. It might be in regards to your marriage, and it's not looking good, though you've tried counseling, though you've tried to restore and reconcile things. It's hanging by a thread. Maybe it's in regards to provision, and you've been asking God for your house to sell or for a door to open up for you to get a job and for you to get that opportunity, but there seems to be no movement at all. Maybe for you tonight, it's in regards to an addiction, and you've been trying to overcome this life-controlling issue, but it just seems like you're going backwards. You know, whatever the situation might be, whatever the struggle, whatever the stronghold, like Dr. Mason talked about, that's holding you back or keeping you down, what God wants to tell you tonight is that you need to believe that He is able to work powerfully and miraculously in your life, and then you need to sit back and watch Him do what only He can do to bring it about. Amen? You know, this is what God wants to do in each of our lives. The situation may look different, the circumstance may look different, but God is still the same, and He wants to work powerfully in your life. And when we come to our text today out of Numbers chapter 13, we come to a story where this principle, you're able to see this principle at work in the fact that the people, really what they saw, their perspective, what they saw with their eyes really determined their outcome. We're going to look at Numbers chapter 13. So before we go into this verse, let me give you just a little bit of context on where we find ourselves when we come to this story. Now, the Israelites are a group of people, and they were held under captivity for 400 years under Egyptian rule. Now, God said, I want to call these people out from all the other nations. These are going to be my people. And then God delivered them from captivity, and He's taking them to a land that He's prepared for them, and now they're on a journey. And that's where we pick up with this verse right here. This is the Lord speaking. He says, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes." So Moses, who is their leader, he did as the Lord commanded him. He sent out 12 men, all tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. So you see here that I've underlined that phrase right there where it says, "Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites." So right from the outset, before anything else takes place, God is saying, here is land that I'm giving you. This is yours. Your name is on it, Israelite people. This is all yours. I have given it to you. Everybody good with that? It's the land for the Israelites. Well, as the story continues, these 12 men, they go on this spy mission. These are the leaders, right, of the tribes. These are the heads. These are the leaders that people look up to. But they go on this spy mission, and they go all throughout the land to get a report on what Canaan actually looks like. So they spend about 40 days traveling throughout the region. They're taking notes. They're seeing what it's like. And when they look at this country, what this area or this region, what they see is that it's beautiful, that it's lush, that it's everything looks incredible. It looks amazing. Just think of the most magical place that you could think of, and this take this to the nth degree of that, okay? This trumps that, right? This is just lush, and it's wonderful. The soil is perfect to grow crops, and it's all great. And then they look at the people, and they're like, man, this place is beautiful, but the people, they're really big. They start looking at the fruits, and they start seeing, man, these things are really huge. They're big. I mean, wow, this is a lot different than anything that we've seen before. And to give you an idea of just how big things are, they decide, okay, you know what? We need to take something back so we can show Moses and the people what the stuff actually looks like over here. So they decide to take a single cluster of grapes. A single cluster of grapes, right? My little kids can hold a single cluster of grapes. Unless they're from Canaan, all right? So Canaan, the grapes from here were so big that they had to put it on a pole, and it took two dudes carrying the pole to take a single cluster of grapes back to Moses and the people. Now, can somebody say that's some big grapes right there? Like, I know they say everything's bigger in Texas, but I'm telling you, Canaan would give Texas a run for its money, all right? So they go back to the land, and they're going over there, and they've got the grapes, and they're ready to give their report to Moses. Moses is excited. He's like, all right, I can't wait. This is the land that God has given us. What does it look like? Well, the people start to talk, and they start to give a report, and it went something like this. The land is beautiful. They described it as a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, everything is pristine. It's perfect. It's a magical wonderland. But there are these giants that are in that land. These giants roam that land, and there is no way on earth that we're going to be able to occupy that land or enter in, because those giants are going to take us down. So that's the report. That's it. What? Okay, let's look at that for a moment. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, that's amazing. But guess what? You're not going to be able to go there because those giants are too big. Talk about deflating, right? Talk about, man, you're setting them up and you're like, wow, this is wonderful. And you're thinking that you're going to be able to go there. But then the report comes back that you can't enter it. You can't walk there because these giants are going to destroy you. Now, let me ask you this evening, how many of you have ever been in that situation where you feel like God has given you a promise, or he's given you a dream, or he's put something in your heart, only for the enemy to come right after that and say, you know what? I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can handle it. You're not capable to go there. I mean, that land is beautiful, but it's not for you. There's no way that you're going to be able to achieve that or accomplish that. Well, that's exactly what's happening in this story right here. The Israelites they start hearing about this news. The report starts to spread among the people, and they are crying and they're weeping and they're standing in the wilderness cursing God. And in the midst of all of this, we come to this verse right here in Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 and 9, where there are two individuals who are on the spy mission that had something completely different to say about things. Here's what they said. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, "The land we traveled through and explored, it's a wonderful land, and the Lord is pleased with us. He will bring us safely into the land, and he's going to give it to us. It's a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of this land. They're only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." Wow. Isn't that a good word right there? You know, I believe that tonight That's what God wants to speak to some of you today. He's telling you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. Don't give in to the lies of the enemy, but instead stand on God's promises and believe that He's going to work in your situation. Don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. Well, for the Israelites, man, unfortunately, they decided to go with the report from the 10 spies. Rather than these two that were saying, be bold, trust the Lord, they said, you know what, I'm going to go with these 10 spies. And they began cursing God. And they even got to the point where they said, we wish we were still slaves because God brought us all the way out here and gave us false hope, and now He's going to kill us. Life was better when we were slaves. Now, how does that make sense, right? The enemy had crept in and deceived them so much to the point where they're going, I wish I was slaves. Now, let's take a look at one more verse here. Verse 24. But my servant Caleb, he has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I'm going to bring him into the land he explored. His descendants are going to possess their full share of that land. He later goes on to say that Joshua is going to join Caleb in entering this land. But unfortunately for all of the other Israelites, the hundreds of thousands of Israelites that were on this journey, because they weren't going to trust the Lord, because they failed to take God at His promise that this land was there, they would end up dying in the wilderness, but only two of them were going to be able to enter the land that God had promised for them. Why is that the case? How could Joshua and Caleb see something totally different than the other 10 spies? You see, the difference was for the 10 spies who brought back a negative report, what they saw shaped what they believed. But for Joshua and Caleb, what they believed determined what they saw. And as a result, their future was completely different. The trajectory of their life was completely changed forevermore because they allowed God to determine what they saw and how they saw it instead of what they saw through their natural eyes. You know, tonight, I believe that what God wants us to do is to take hold of this principle, to believe before we see. Because when we see through our natural eyes, it's going to create doubt, it's going to create fear, it's going to create angst. But if we allow God to determine what we see and look through His lens, it's going to change everything. Amen? You know, in the time that's in front of us, what I'd like to do is to look at three specific ways that Joshua and Caleb were able to see through this different lens that really changed the course of their life. And what I want us to do is to take hold of this and see, all right, this is how I can apply it into my situation, into what I'm facing today, because I truly believe that what God wants to do in our lives is powerful. Well, the first thing that we need to do in order to believe before we see is we need to see with eyes of faith. Everybody say, see with eyes of faith. You know, it's funny to me how two people can look at the same scenario or the same, deal and have a totally different outlook than the other person, right? I've got two sons, a 3.5-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. Judah's the oldest, and Josiah is the youngest. And we've got this little playset in our backyard. And so there's a little slide on it and all that stuff. And when Judah looks at this slide, he sees the slide and he looks at it and he goes, all right, I see the steps that are right next to the slide, and I'm going to climb up these steps. I'm going to get to the top of that slide portion there, and then I'm going to glide my way down to the bottom, and everything is good, right? When Josiah, on the other hand, looks at the same slide, he sees the slide, and he sees nothing else at all. There's no steps that are there for him to climb. He sees gliding is not in his vocabulary, okay? All he sees is this slide, and he's going to do whatever it takes to climb up this slide backwards and make it to the top, all right? Unfortunately, or fortunately, actually, I should say, he's been unsuccessful, all right? And he's had minor injuries along the way, but he's okay, right? But for him, when he sees a challenge, he's intrigued by it. You know, if they had those no fear shirts from back in the days, you guys remember that? If they had a onesie version of it, he would be the poster boy, okay? Because he looks at fear and he's like, I'm gonna take it on, right? But two people looking at the same situation, but having a completely different outlook on how they're going to approach it. You know, when the 10 spies were looking at what's in front of them in the land of Canaan, you know, what they saw was these giants and these things that were a lot larger and bigger than them. So the 10 spies saw that, as well as Joshua and Caleb. They saw the exact same thing, right? And I'm pretty sure that when Joshua and Caleb looked at the giants, they probably were scared for a moment, right? They were like, oh my gosh, these guys are huge. Why are they so big? But you see, rather than allowing their fears to overshadow their faith, they began to see it through the eyes of God. And when they began looking at the land of Canaan and these people that were in front of them through the eyes of God, what they realized is that these giants were the ones that looked like grasshoppers in relation to God. You see, for the other people, the 10 spies, they were like, these giants make us look like grasshoppers. They're not, there's no way that we can defeat them. And from your natural eyes, that's what you see. But when you look through the eyes of God and the way that he looks at it, and you recognize that there is nothing impossible, there is nothing too big, there's nothing too difficult for our God, then every situation, every problem you face becomes so small in comparison to God. You see, fear is a tactic that the enemy uses to stifle growth and to stall progress. He wants to hold you back. He wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you from moving forward. But you see, if we allow that to overshadow our faith, if we give voice to that in our life, what's going to happen is that we're going to only see our best in the past or in the present, but we're not going to be able to believe God that the best is yet to come. But when we see through eyes of faith, we're able to go, you know what? I see what's in front of me, but I know what the Lord is able to do, and am I able to continue seeing with those eyes of faith, which are going to guide me towards the path of victory. You know, a second thing that's very important for us to take hold of in order to believe before we see is that we need to remember God's faithfulness and we need to trust his promises. We need to remember God's faithfulness and we need to trust his promises. You know, one of the things that God said when he was expressing his displeasure over the Israelites because of, you know, of their response to the land of Canaan, one of the things that he said was, have I not shown them enough signs? Have I not shown them that they don't have to worry about anything, but that I'm taking care of them? Tonight, that's the question that he wants to put before you. Has he not shown you time and time again how faithful he is in your life, how he's able to guide you, how he's able to lead you, how he's able to move you forward? Has he not shown you that? You know, too often what happens for us is we get overwhelmed by what's in front of us and we get overwhelmed by what we see and we lose all perspective and we forget about what God has done. But you know what? If we take a step back and we say, all right, I see what's in front of me, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to reflect on the things that the Lord has done in my life. I'm going to remember how far the Lord has brought me, and then I'm going to begin to recite the promises of God that are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then it's going to give me the strength. It's going to give me the hope. It's going to encourage me and help me to do the third thing that's important for us to do, and that's to keep moving forward. Amen? It's going to keep moving forward. If we want to believe before we see, we have to keep moving forward. You know, the enemy would like us to give up, would like to hold us down, would want to cause us to just turn around and run the opposite way. I mean, you think about it for a moment. The Israelites thought that slavery was better than the freedom that they were experiencing in the wilderness. They were going, man, that was a lot better. This is the tactic of the enemy. This is the way the enemy works. And it's important that we're on guard and we're watchful for the enemy's deceptive tactics. But it's critical for us to not stand still or not to go backwards. But it's important for us to keep moving forward. It's important for us to keep pressing on. It's important for us to look at our situation and say, I am not going to be taken down by this, but I'm going to continue pressing forward on the path that God has for us. You know, for Blessing and I, my wife and I, we grew up in a small Indian church back in Oklahoma. And we would have never imagined being a part of something as incredible as this. I mean, to be here, to be on staff here, it's incredible and it's an awesome opportunity. But our church, I mean, honestly, it would be like the front few rows of this church right here, this campus right here. But for us to go from that and to now be on the cusp of leading the North Campus, I mean, we can't, you know, there's moments where we wonder, man, are we qualified to do this? Are we ready to do this? Can we actually handle this? There's moments where those feelings come upon us. And, you know, it's easy for us to just go, well, nope, we're not qualified. We're done. That's it. All right, you're right. We're not ready for this. It's easy to do something like that. But when you begin to see things through God's perspective and you begin looking at your situation and these lies that the enemy is feeding and you begin looking at it and instead of giving voice to that, you begin giving voice to God in your life, then you begin to see that what God has for you is far greater than what you have for yourself. That it's not you fighting the battle, but the Lord wants to fight your battle. It's not you that's gonna defeat the enemy. The Lord has already given you victory, and it's important for us to step into that and to keep walking forward. And for us, as we look at our life, we're going, can we do this? Can we not? And when we focus our attention on ourselves, we're inadequate. But when we fix our eyes on God and we begin seeing, wow, this is what God wants to do through us, we stand in awe and we're taken back by what the Lord wants to do. You see, when we think about the North Campus, we don't focus on our inadequacies, but we're writing down, okay, what are we believing God to do? What God wants to do is He wants to help that person defeat and overcome that life-controlling issue as they go through the Living Free program. He wants to help that teenager encounter Jesus for the first time and meet Him and experience that life change. He wants people to know the joy of serving and being a part of a big family like this. He wants families to be transformed by the power of the gospel. You see, when you look at it through God's lens, that's what you see. When you look at it through our lens, all you see is, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make it? What can I do? It's not about you. It's about what God wants to do through you. You know, tonight, I don't know what you're facing or what you might be going through. It could be, you know, a bad report that you just heard this past week from the doctor. It could be an illness that you've been battling for some time. It could be that you've been praying to reconcile a relationship with a loved one or a spouse or a child. I mean, there could be a whole host of different needs and situations that are represented here tonight. And what I want to tell you is that as you're going through this battle, don't be afraid. You are not alone. You need to look at your situation through eyes of faith. You need to remember God's faithfulness and trust His promises. You need to keep moving forward because what God wants to do is He wants to show Himself strong in your life and bring about victory. So I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't fall into the lies of the enemies and the things that he's saying, but instead, hear God's voice for you today. He wants to work powerfully in your life. Believe before you see and allow God to work miraculously and powerfully in your life. We're going to open up the altars right now, and I just want to encourage you to come. Find a place of prayer. Spend some time at the altar just seeking God, asking Him to do a work, asking Him to show Himself strong. And here in just a few moments, we'll close out together in worship. But come, find a place of prayer at the altar, and let's seek the Lord.